Delling Pole, First They Came for Katie Hopkins. By James Delling Pole on February 5, 2020. What would Katie Hopkins have tweeted about the latest terror attack on the London streets by a committed jihadist freshly released from prison? Hard to be sure, but we can guess it would have been pretty pungent and that it would have struck a chord with a lot of ordinary, sensible folk. Maybe she would have focused on the absurdity of the attempted killer's sentence. Just 14 months served by a committed Islamist who'd been caught with bomb-making equipment. Hundreds of computer downloads on stuff like how to kill people. And was so radical that he'd urged his girlfriend to behead her parents because they were kuffar, unbelievers. Maybe she would have highlighted the utter ineptitude of the English justice system, which still seems to be more interested in protecting the human rights of savage and incorrigible terrorist killers than it is in protecting people who'd prefer to push their kids in pushchairs or ride on bicycles without being knifed by convicted terrorists fresh out of jail. Maybe she would have drawn attention to the large numbers of similarly radicalized, intransigent, Islamist terrorists about to be released onto the streets. One thing we do know, her comment would have been angry. Darkly funny, punchy, likely a bit tasteless, a bit did she really say that? But also very apt. She would have said the kind of thing that lots and lots of people think privately but dare not express so bluntly in public. That's one of the things that was great about Katie Hopkins on Twitter and why she had garnered more than a million followers. She had popular appeal. She often hit the nail on the head. People were interested in what she had to say, which is why they chose, to follow her. But now Katie Hopkins's Twitter followers have been denied that choice. A delegation of activists, an unholy alliance of cry-bully Muslims and celebrity wankerati, has successfully got Katie Hopkins cancelled. The cancellation was initiated by one of those ad hoc leftist campaign groups which no one has ever heard of. The Center for Countering Digital Hate, and given a celebrity face by Rachel Riley. A pretty Cambridge graduate who does impressive arithmetic on the cultish UK daytime TV game show Countdown. As Alam Bokhari reported, progressive TV presenter Rachel Riley, who previously led a campaign against anti-Semitism in the British Labour Party, said that she and a member of the Center for Countering Digital Hate had met with Twitter shortly before Hopkins' suspension to lobby the tech company about her continued presence on the platform. Just look at some of her fellow wankerati involved in engineering Hopkins's cancellation. They include Mayor of London Sadiq Khan and ex-footballer-slash-overpaid BBC presenter Gary Lineker. The Center for Countering Digital Hate, meanwhile, appears to be another of those Soros-style leftist sock puppet organizations, not unlike Sleeping Giants or Hope Not Hate. Its purpose, reading between the lines, is to advance the left social justice warrior agenda by closing down right-wing voices while pretending to be merely about silencing hate. Whatever hate means, surely it ought to be obvious with anyone with half a brain, let alone a clever girl who went to Cambridge. That one person's hate is another person's vigorously expressed home truth. It depends entirely on perspective. The idea that some random organization, fronted by someone, Imran Ahmed, whom no one, not even his own mother probably, has ever heard of before, should suddenly acquire the power to go to Twitter and close down people who don't share its ideology is outrageous beyond measure. There is no doubt whatsoever that Rachel Riley is very easy on the eye. Still less is there any doubt, as she demonstrates every weekday, that Riley is really, really good at adding up numbers quickly. What's less obvious, though, is quite what gives this blessed child of gene pool privilege the moral right to deny Katie Hopkins, or anyone else for that matter, the opportunity to express herself on social media. Riley was widely praised for her courage and outspokenness in confronting the rampant anti-Semitism within Jeremy Corbyn's Labour Party. But any credibility she might have earned for sticking her head above the parapet on that one issue has been squandered on this disgracefully illiberal silencing of Katie Hopkins. In any case, if it's bravery we're talking about, Riley is not fit to lick the boots of Katie Hopkins. Lots and lots of people, me included, and I don't think I'm particularly brave, pointed out what a bunch of vile anti-Semitic scumbags Jeremy Corbyn's crowd were and are. Hopkins, on the other hand, tends to focus on the issues where you're not pushing it quite such an open door. The rapes and grenade attacks in Sweden, the torture and murder of white farmers in South Africa, the difficulties created by mass migration, the Muslim rape gangs. These are issues that the mainstream media has often been loath to cover for reasons of cowardice and political correctness. But that doesn't mean the problems aren't real. Hopkins has done a truly heroic and noble thing, often exposing herself to great personal risk by covering these issues in her inimitable style and getting the word out there. Sure, there are occasions when in her eagerness to drive home the message, Hopkins oversteps the mark. Every now and then, Hopkins will phrase herself in such a way as to make friends and admirers. And I count myself both a friend and admirer of Katie, whom I know to be fundamentally a good, decent, unmalicious person. Wish that she was just a little better at reining in her invective. The most recent example of this was the cruel and unpleasant stitch-up, organized by a woke YouTube prankster called Josh Peters, whereby Hopkins was flown out to Prague in the belief that she was to receive an award. It's quite excruciating to watch. To a backdrop that says CT Award, Hopkins makes an impromptu speech of gratitude, explaining how touched she is because normally no one wants to give her awards, to a small audience of alleged fans, all of whom are in fact actors playing up the enthusiasm and egging Hopkins on to be more and more outrageous. Hopkins duly obliges with a number of excruciating, squirm-inducing, shock jock type remarks on Muslims, on disabled people and so on, which means that now, when even the great Brendan O'Neill writes a defense of Hopkins's right to free speech, he has to preface it with a wheedling, self-preserving cop-out intro like this. Katie Hopkins is a racist. Anyone who hadn't already gleaned that from her dalliances with the vile race baiters of Generation Identity types or her use of the word cockroaches in a column about immigrants will surely see it now following the speech she made at a phony awards ceremony in Prague. Internet pranksters invited Hopkins to accept the Campaign to Unite the Nation trophy, CUNT, during which Hopkins made a speech filled with racist epithets. She mocked Pakistani speech patterns. She compared Asians to epileptics. She described Muslims as retards who rape their mothers. She said that if you shout Muhammad in a British playground, thousands of fucking kids will come running, and you don't want any of them. Vile, hateful stuff. I don't dispute that what Hopkins said was embarrassing, ugly and horribly ill-judged. But I also believe if you're going to bandy about terms like vile and racist, you need to take a view on the totality of someone's track record, rather than cherry-picking their worst moments in order to cover your sorry ass lest anyone accuse you of endorsing racism. Tone policing is the enemy's game and no one on the side of free speech should play it, however tempted the opportunity to virtue signal might be. The good that Hopkins has done far, far outweighs the occasional slip to which she is sometimes understandably prone given the intolerable pressure under which she operates and given her unfiltered, attention-seeking personality. A double-edged sword which explains both why she is so loved and so hated. And the people she speaks for above all aren't the chin-stroking, libertarian-leaning fanboy types who can't get enough of Brendan O'Neill. I'm one of them, by the way, nor are they the sophisticated freethinkers who adore and worship Douglas Murray. Me too, again, nor are they the people who rightly think the stuff I write is great too. No, Katie Hopkins speaks for the masses who have been dispossessed, silenced and all but disenfranchised by our politically correct, eggshell-treading culture. They are not racists, though of course the MSM and now, sadly, it would seem Brendan O'Neill too, would happily brand them as such. They are simply ordinary, decent people who see the world they know and understand. The culture that is their birthright, slowly being dragged away from them by forces they do not understand. Hopkins, sometimes clumsily, more often funnily and punchily, articulates their despair in a way they cannot. Which is why, again, Katie Hopkins amassed more than a million followers on Twitter. She strikes a chord. No one, anywhere, is going to be seriously harmed by even the worst things Katie Hopkins has said or done. Lots and lots and lots of people are going to be harmed by the causes championed by the left liberal Wankarati, Josh Peters, Rachel Riley, Gary Lineker, Sadiq Khan. The list of wankers just goes on and on, none of whom is ever going to be banned from Twitter, despite the destructive nature of the leftist beliefs they endorse. Oh, and by the way, I don't think the former MP, radio broadcaster, hard-left pro-Islamist bruiser George Galloway should have been banned from Twitter either, despite the fact that the hypocritical tosser once sought hard to get me banned from Twitter just for being rude, would you believe it, about Jeremy Corbyn. Free speech is free speech. The bad guys have just won a major victory.